the year 1970. The music, the people, the news, the sounds of 1970 at St. Bonaventure. This is Steve Laughlin reliving the memories of the year that began the decade, 1970. St. Bonaventure.
Like years previous, 1970 was for St. Bonaventure, a continuation of an already begun year of basketball as the team continued its winning ways. Everybody is a star. And the Student Senate was still involved with its long constitutional convention meetings, while sparks of ideas on intervisitation policy were beginning to kindle in the minds of some students. The winter slipped into a new month, as February brought new innovations to St. Bonaventure, plus continued headaches to the SAC and a socially starved campus.
University President Father Reginald Redlin has approved the plan that will transform Falconio into a women's residence, with the men swapping dormitories with the girls in Shea. In other changes, a plan that would provide for a shorter term has been approved by the Curriculum Committee, the Student Senate Constitutional Convention continues, and the Student Activities Council has announced the cancellation of Winter Weekend. SAC officials say that the council has only about $1,800 remaining in its treasury.
The middle of the month of February continued the trend of change. The students and teachers organized for peace is formed to awaken political conscientiousness at St. Bonaventure. The Board of Instruction probes the student body on possibilities of making ROTC a voluntary program, and the issue that would develop into a major campus controversy in the later part of the year continues to grow.
A special committee working in conjunction with the Vice President for Student Affairs Advisory Board will investigate the possibility of initiating dormitory intervisitation on an experimental basis.
1 week later, an editorial in the campus newspaper, The Bonaventure, endorses the intervisitation proposal.
Here it comes.
February is climaxed as 3 months of debate comes to an end with a minority of delegates ratifying the Student Senate Constitution. President Dougherty hopes for presentation of the new document to the Board of Trustees at its April 17th meeting. Besides Senate actions, other stories make the headlines. The students and teachers organized for peace call for an end to mandatory ROTC. SAC changes leaders with Patty Ellens taking the executive command. And the basketball team awaits a bid to the NCAA. March, a month of basketball fever. Only one other story, this one coming at the beginning of the month, would affect the students at St. Bonaventure.
Charles Dougherty has been re-elected Senate President by an overwhelming majority. Breaking tradition, he is the first to serve in the Senate executive seat for more than 1 year. Dougherty stresses giving students more responsibility in their own affairs.
For the rest of the month, basketball would dominate the news at Bonaventure. It would all begin with an impressive 85-72 win over Davidson in the NCAA opening round.
But I'd like to thank you all very much for this very fine, very cordial, very friendly reception that you have planned for the team. We have a couple games this Thursday and Saturday coming up, and a couple after that.
Yep. And the basketball fever was only beginning. Determined to follow the Bonnies all the way to the final round in the tournament brought a group of students to a new purpose for protest.
Days off now! Days off now! Days off now! Days off.
Nearly 150 students stormed the university administration building, calling for a holiday in order to follow the team to South Carolina. This action would initiate the abolishment of the cut system by the university's Board of Instruction. With the shuffling of holidays with 3 days, the students got what they wanted, and it was an NCAA-bound Bonaventure.
Easy, 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 one, two, three.
After disposing of a pesky North Carolina team, it was on for a revenge match with Villanova, the only team that had beaten the Bonnies during the season. Although St. Bonaventure had no trouble taking the Wildcats for a game victory, the team suffered a tragic loss.
Hello again, everyone. Howard Cosell speaking of sports for American Contemporary Radio. St. Bonaventure won a victory in the NCAA regionals today, beating Villanova 97-74. But they suffered an irreplaceable loss. Bob Lanier, the great All-American center, a knee injury, out for the season, surgery apparently necessary. Lanier had 26 points up to the time of his departure from the game.
Lonely feeling deep inside. Find a corner where I can hide. Silent footsteps crowding me, sudden darkness, but I can see. No sugar tonight, but coffee.
What was once an optimistic, battle-ready school was now filled with shock and pessimism. But still, the tournament had to be played.
I know it's going to be very tough next week without Bob. I assure you that the rest of us are going to give 100%. We're going to try our best, and don't be surprised if we don't win the damn thing.
I just want to tell Larry and the team that we're extremely proud of what they've done over the past season. And we'll be as proud when they come back from College Park next Sunday, no matter what happens. I also would like to say we just received word over the radio from the doctors in Buffalo that Bob Lanier's surgery has been completed. He's in very satisfactory condition and will be expected to be in excellent shape in about 6 weeks.
And so, for now, until next Sunday, go, Bonnets, go.
I feel very badly about Bob, because I think that more than anything else, he wanted to go to Maryland. I'm sure that the players that are going down this Wednesday are going to show what they have. I know that they'll do well, and that St. Bonaventure will do well, because I know that you're proud of them, and you know that I'm proud of them also. Thank you very much.
And so with tears in their eyes, the injury-struck team headed to College Park, Maryland, to face the Giants of Jacksonville to win one for Bob. Although the Bonnies narrowly missed defeating Jacksonville and then New Mexico State in consolation, concern was elsewhere. What about the future of Bob Lanier?
Robert Lanier's injury was a torn ligament. This torn ligament was repaired in surgery Sunday morning in the Buffalo General Hospital. He will be in a cast for approximately 6 weeks. The operative procedure went well, and there is no reason evident that would prevent his return to competitive athletics.
With this in mind, eyes were turned from a fateful NCAA tragedy to an optimistic $1.2 million contract that Bob Lanier would sign with the Detroit Pistons. And finally, a mass exodus of the month would take place as students flocked home for Easter vacation to families who awaited to hear NCAA memories. With the NCAA tragedy behind, the activities of March became memories with the return from Easter recess, and the passage of two major resolutions took place.
The Board of Instruction has passed resolutions which will abolish the cut system and make ROTC a voluntary program at St. Bonaventure.
Everything is beautiful in its own way. Like the stars
of this America.
The later part of the month brings the University Board of Trustees together, calling for a University Senate composed of students, faculty, and administrators. Student Senate President Dougherty acknowledges this as the first time students are recognized as having a place in the decision-making policy at St. Bonaventure University. April flows into May, but is met with protest and tragedy. United States military operations move into Cambodia, and four students are shot to death on the campus of Kent State during a protest of U.S. involvement in Southeast Asia.
I deplore what occurred on the campus of Kent State University. That's my statement, not only as a person, but as the president of the university.
Prompted by the endorsement of Father Reginald Redlin, the University Board of Instruction has voted to suspend all classes for at least 2 days in order to promote discussion on the latest U.S. involvement in Cambodia and the tragedy at Kent State University.
With Friday and Saturday classes canceled, members of the university conducted various discussions and debates centered around the current world problems. The activities concluded with a candlelight march from St. Bonaventure, led by the university president, and terminating at Olean's Lincoln Park, where Father Reginald addressed the people.
Well, I feel that our nation is tearing itself apart. I feel that our nation is slowly, in many ways, committing suicide. And the war is simply cruel and merciless, and it simply cannot go on much longer. So what I've come here today to ask you to do is this, and I'm appealing particularly to the Orleans citizenry and the people in the area or in the local communities. Listen to those who want to talk to you. Open your mind and your heart to what they have to say. You will not have to agree with them necessarily, but maybe they can also learn from you. But the only way in which they can learn from you is if you are willing to learn from them. Look around, there are no city stores that have their windows boarded up. There are no windows that have been smashed or broken by anyone, particularly anyone from Bonaventure. So please, don't prejudge them. But listen to them, and let's hope that we can show an example here in Western New York, and possibly throughout the whole state of New York, that people can talk together, people can live together. People can combat a common enemy and not one another.
For united we stand, divided we fall. And if our backs should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together, you and I.
The voiceful protest continued. Parents' weekend came and went, and finally the university was quiet again. Summer vacation had begun.
Summer was over and the confusion would begin once more.
Two new appointees headlined the news as students returned to St. Bonaventure. Colonel John Metzger will head the Military Science Department, and Father Dan Hurley has been named Dean of Men, succeeding Father Gervais White. In other news, headaches for students and administrators alike. In failure to anticipate the returning number of students, the university has over-admitted 137 male freshmen, causing housing difficulties. And hours of pushing and shoving characterize an unbearable registration for hallway-crowded students.
Suicide is painless. Suicide. It brings on many changes.
Changes
that I can take or leave it if I please. The sword of time will pierce our skin. It doesn't hurt. It works its way on in. The pain grows stronger. Watch it breathe.
Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please.
A brave man once requested me to answer questions that are key. Is it to be or not to be? And I replied, oh, why ask me?
Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please. And you can do the same thing if you please.
Now, the summer really never broke up the actions of the previous school year, as things began just as they had left off. At its first meeting of the semester, the Student Senate unanimously passes a motion that would affect the future of St. Bonaventure.
The Student Senate has approved a sign and intervisitation program. That proposal must now meet approval through administrative channels.
Also entering the limelight, the beginning of the academic year brings forth the birth of the St. Bonaventure Key Club, an organization attempting to rectify the poor social life on campus. October finds the President's Advisory Board meeting for the first time to consider the Student Senate intervisitation proposal. On Wednesday, October 7th, Father Gerald McCaffrey reads a statement voicing the decision of the Advisory Board.
While the committee is in total accord with the spirit and intent of the proposal of intervisitation presented by the Student Senate, certain problem areas appear to impede the acceptance of the proposal as presented.
I ask you to bear with us. The struggle is not over. Please do not undermine your student government in the middle of this controversy.
You know you've done me wrong.
The disappointment continues into the end of the week as the Student Activities Council meets financial failure in presenting blues guitarist B.B. King.
The thrill is gone.
But the issue of intervisitation is far from gone. Senate action continues in succeeding weeks, fighting that a student's abode is not merely a bedroom, but a home where he should be allowed to entertain.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you.
Monday night, October 19th, students attempt a forced intervisitation program in the Rob Fowl dormitories.
There are between 75 and 100 people gathered in the Rob Fowl lounge, and the group is growing. The spokesman talking is proposing that they follow the rules passed out and then start their own intervisitation. They passed out a handout mimeograph that has about 8 different rules set down on it. The number one rule, our actions tonight cannot warrant any disciplinary action according to the handbook. Number two, always be orderly and avoid blocking anybody's door or movement in the hall. Number three, remain standing. Sit-ins are illegal. Number four, do not make unnecessary noise or go into anyone's room. Remain in the hall. Number five, communicate with any authority as a representative, not as a leader. Simply hand them our policy and demands. Number six, do not panic if asked for your ID. Don't give it to anyone. You don't have it. And number seven, don't leave until everyone leaves. Stand together and we can't be beat. A second memo passed out, which I do not have a copy of, states that they have certain demands that will be given to the Vice President of Student Affairs, Father Gerald McCaffrey.
Well, I'm not sure if it was solely a reaction to my statement or it was a combination of my reaction to the statement and to the fact that some prefects had the doors blocked, but in any event, the crowds seem to begin dispersing, and right now there's Well, maybe half or a third of the number left.
Standing behind President Dougherty, the Senate votes unanimously that the University Advisory Council consider the Student Senate's intervisitation policy.
Heaven help us.
With the month of October almost terminated, intervisitation and student rights remain the news at Bonaventure. Meanwhile, the Senate answers administrative cries that dorm autonomy should precede intervisitation by setting up a provisional dorm council in attempts to elect an executive committee. Finally, with the passing of the intervisitation issue through the hands of the University Advisory Council, the outcome rests with University President Father Reginald. The campus holds its breath, awaiting the final decision.
A bulletin from the WOFM newsroom.
Without questioning the sincerity and the evident idealism of those who have made the request, I have to inform you that the proposal is unacceptable.
And with the dawn of a new month, the university president further attempts to keep the door to intervisitation shut, citing to a Parents' Day crowd the penalties that would be imposed should students attempt to force open the door to the non-negotiable topic.
We are willing to sit down, as we have been, to talk with the students at any time. But it is necessary to know that we will not compromise on this decision. Indeed, and I don't anticipate this at all, but if it is necessary, we will not hesitate to dismiss or to expel those students. Who do not respect that this policy is a firm one. If necessary indeed, and I feel it only necessary honestly to inform you, that if the campus, as a result of this decision, and once classes resume, is disrupted to an abnormal degree, I will close the school.
However, neither the statement of the president nor the applause of the parents has much effect, as the following night students force their own intervisitation program. The following night, again claiming student rights, the numbers increase as over 800 participate in the forced program.
Means you meet me in the hallway. Oh, lights on the pipe.
Means you ain't gonna show.
The student point was made, and in efforts to keep the university open, the Senate decides the following night to take intervisitation and the student rights issue to the Board of Trustees. But amidst frustration, drastic action brings destruction to university storage barns. The next step, solidarity.
What I'm appealing to you tonight to do is, for the time being, to cast aside all of our differences of opinion, all of our feelings of resentment, all of our suspicions and mistrust, and to recognize that we have now before us, together as a community, the students and the faculty and the administration. And I will have to tell, of course, the trustees in the morning. As a community, we are faced with a great challenge. And the challenge is this, that together we stand and attempt vigilantly to prevent anything like what has happened tonight occurring again.
The flames that scar the Bonaventure campus reach out farther than the destroyed barns as the news media picks up the heated story, spreading it nationwide.
The growing student dissent on the St. Bonaventure campus here has reached a critical stage on a moral issue. As I walked the paths of this open campus, it was easy to see why strong student revolt had come slowly here. A conservative Catholic faculty teaches a student body where I saw only a sprinkling of long hairstyles. But the crisis came when the university insisted on its ban against any visits at all by men in women's dormitory rooms and vice versa. Many students consider this an affront to their morality. Now the conflict has escalated to a dispute about how much power students should have in the running of the university. This is Ron Milligan, ABC News, St. Bonaventure University.
The campus will just have to sit tight till November 9th to await the university's trustees' decision on the intervisitation issue. So far, bomb threats have canceled numerous university activities this past week. They include the postponing of classes and the movement of radio station WOFM out of a bomb-threatened university center into the maintenance building to carry election night coverage. This is John Kerr reporting for WOFM News. The University Board of Trustees has reached a statement concerning the intervisitation issue. Here to air that statement is Father Giles Bellow, Secretary of the Board.
We believe that solutions arrived at by the community itself will be better and more long-lasting than any solution that could be handed down by the Board of Trustees.
This decision leads to the exploratory talks with Willoughby Abner, students and administrators on intervisitation, student rights, and authority issues. Talks continue and then break for Thanksgiving recess. Leaving the taste of turkey and returning to campus, many students forgot the problems that were experienced earlier in the fall. There was a new topic to be discussed, basketball. For others, intervisitation and student rights remained the same as it had been before. Willoughby Abner continued his fact-finding mission and was engaged by the university to help in settling its problems. Closing out December, the faculty senate votes to reduce the university philosophy requirement from 15 to 9 hours, and together with campus coordinator Phyllis Kay, Willoughby Abner continues discussions with members of the university and then breaks for Christmas vacation. With special thanks to John Kerr and those who made the news of 1970, this is Steve Laughlin.